Hello, my name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Iyov Perek Yudchet, Chapter 18. To review Chapter 17, Rashi's view on chapter 17 is that Iyov is completely disillusioned in the friend's behavior and wisdom. Iyov also encourages other righteous individuals who are suffering like him to stand up and strenuously defend their views. Iyov wants to debate with God, but God's not available. So Iyov encourages the friends to stay and argue. We also discussed Rashi's overall view on Iyov. Rashi views Iyov's strong words towards God as coming from a place of closeness and yearning for God. Rashi does state that Iyov's faith was imperfect in some areas, and he does complain too forcefully sometimes against God. He is only human. Yet overall, Rashi views Iyov as a good person who does not deserve the abuse of the friends. Rashi sees Iyov as a man of faith. And Rashi sides with Iyov versus the friends in their assumption that Iyov must have sinned and criticizes the friends' harshness. We also saw from Perek Aleph and Bet that it is a trial, that Iyov did not sin, and this is a test of his faithfulness to God. And according to Rashi, Iyov mostly passes the test. However, Rashi, commenting on chapter 33, chapter Lamed Gimel, comments that Avraham Avinu, Abraham our patriarch, was a person of perfect faith because he was unquestioning of God, especially at the Akedah, at the binding of Isaac. So Rashi clearly places Avraham on a higher level, but Iyov is still an important man of faith. In this chapter, chapter 18, we will read the second response of Bildad, who we met earlier in chapter 8, and outrightly accused Iyov's sons of wickedness that deserved punishment. As Bildad said then, that is the wisdom of the ancients and forefathers. Only crime begets punishment. You have to sin in order to be punished. Otherwise, God does not punish you. In this chapter, in our chapter, chapter 18, Bildad is more strident. In chapter 8, Bildad accused the sons of crimes, but not Iyov overtly. Here, Bildad will state Iyov's guilt outright. As we saw with Eliphaz, the tenor of the arguments are increasingly hostile and combative. In chapter 8, verse 3, Bildad asked, Ha'el ye'avet mishpat, ve'im shaddai ye'avet tzedek? In the earlier argument, Bildad asks, would God pervert justice and the Almighty pervert righteousness? There, Bildad asks the question rhetorically. You can even feel the hesitancy in his voice. There, of course, it's rhetorical, because God is always just, but Bildad asks, oh, would God ever mismanage justice, pervert justice and righteousness? That was one of his first words and comments responding to Iyov. It is in the interrogative. He is asking a question. That's the language, that's the tone of the poetry. Here, according to Amos Chacham in the Mosad HaRav Kook commentary of Iov, Bildad is stating clearly and unapologetically, or hesitantly for that matter, that justice is the ruling force of the world and its rock-solid foundation. In the earlier response in chapter 8, Bildad suggested that Iov's children sinned, therefore they were punished, and he only hinted at Iov's iniquity. In this chapter, our chapter, chapter 18, Bildad argues that Iov is wicked. He does not even bother to bring proof from Iov's behavior to prove his view. He just states them as a fact. Bildad does bring the idea of philosophical suffering, the philosophical idea of suffering, as a result of sin. Which means, if you have punishment, if you are suffering, then it must be a result of sin. Huh. Ipso facto, Bildad says. So since Iov is suffering so greatly, ergo, right, his sin must be enormous. He must be wicked. So in this argument, Bildad is making a conclusion by inference, but not direct proof. He doesn't prove and doesn't say, I saw you steal, I saw you cheat, I know. But if you're being punished, then obviously you must have committed crimes. In chapter 8, Bildad and Eliphaz, earlier in chapter 4 and 5, chide Iov to repent for his sins and receive atonement from God and enjoy a better life. Here already, in the first verses, Iov is addressed by Bildad as a rasha, a wicked individual with no hope for atonement. In verse 4, Bildad says that these punishments are part of the world order, that without them, the universe would plunge into chaos. So what we see is this escalation in the second round of arguments. Bildad begins his words with great hostility. Verse 3. Madua nechshavnu kabehema nitminu beinechem. What are we considered? As a beast? And obtuse in your eyes? Ramban Nachmanides comments here that the friends should have more of a lengthy say and not be cut off by Iov, who thinks they are fools or like animals, behema, a beast. So Ramban is adding a psychological element here. The friends are offended by the way Iov is speaking. So as we saw also in the earlier chapters, there's also a personal element here. Not only are they arguing ideas, they are also slinging insults and mudslinging one to the other. Bildad continues and says, we should have a lengthier opportunity to respond. And in the text, we see that it is so. Iov has more oratorical chapters than the friends. Iov has more space to respond. So the friends feel muzzled. The friends feel that their voice is not heard and that Iov doesn't respect them enough. In verse 4, Toref nafsho be'apo, halema'ancha te'etzav aretz, v'ye'etak tzur mimkomo. Translation, you who tears himself apart with anger, will the earth be abandoned for your sake? Will the rock be dislodged from his place? The verbatim explanation is that rocks won't move as a result of your complaints, Iov. The earth is still the same. nothing is going to change because you are complaining. Rashi explains that Bildad is asking Eov sarcastically whether Eov expects God, who's considered the Rock, Tzur, to change the world as a result of his complaints. In several places in Tanakh, we have the word Tzur as a depiction of God's strength and God himself. In Tehillim, chapter 19, verse 15, King David, David HaMelech, sings out to God, Yihiyu l'ratzon imrei fi v'hegayon libi lefanecha, Hashem tzuri v'goali. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable before thee, O Lord, my Rock, Tzuri, and my Redeemer. This is only one of several uses of Rock as a depiction of God. Tzur, Tzur Yisrael, Tzuri v'goali, my Rock and my Redeemer, the Rock of Israel. When they were debating the language in the declaration for the State of Israel, the religious Zionists from Mizrahi, led by Rabbi Yehuda Leib Maimon, wanted an outright reference to God. The debate was so intense that it almost derailed an approval of the final version of the Declaration of Israel's Independence and its reading in the Tel Aviv Art Museum, May 18, 1948. The compromise in the declaration was the use of the phrase Tzur Yisrael, Rock of Israel, but did not use the whole phrase Tzur Yisrael v'goalo, Rock of Israel and its Redeemer. Rabbi Maimon wanted to include God's full name, not just an allusion to God, Tzur Yisrael, but a full allusion to God and God's name in the declaration. So when he signed the declaration, he put God's name next to his signature. So an outright mention of God would be on the declaration. Later on, as a result of this controversy, the chief rabbinate phrased the beginning of the prayer for the State of Israel as a response to this debate, and to clarify the use of the words Tzur Yisrael, Rock of Israel, that was used in the declaration. Therefore, the prayer begins, Avinu Shebashamayim, Tzur Yisrael v'goalo. Our Father in heaven, Rock of Israel and its Redeemer. Already in Eov we see Rashi was battling the natural, simple explanation of the text of Eov and included God wherever he could. To recap, in this chapter, Bildad is more strident. In chapter 8, Bildad accused the sons of crimes, but not Eov overtly. Here, Bildad will state and stated Eov's guilt outright. As we saw with Eliphaz, the tenor of the arguments are increasingly hostile and combative, and we saw in this chapter that Bildad argued that Eov is actually wicked. He does not even bother to bring proofs from Eov's behavior to prove his view. He just states them as a fact. Because Eov is punished, obviously he must have committed horrible crimes. His great suffering is a punishment for his great wickedness. In the next chapter, chapter 19, we will learn Eov's response to Bildad. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.